Whether you are starting a business or running a business, maybe you're producing a podcast like The Kara Golden Show. Let's face it, it's always way harder than one might expect. Lots of little details, meticulous planning, producing product, guest coordination, editing, promoting each episode. It's all a ton of work. Managing merchandise, managing cases and book sales too, layer after layer of complexity. And if you're like me, looking for ways to operate more efficiently and effectively is the name of the game. That's why I'm going to let you in on a little secret. ShipStation, the tool that is here to help you, and you need to know all about it. With ShipStation, you can integrate with all the places you sell online, optimize your shipping, save costs and time. Personally, ShipStation has been a lifesaver for me. Its automation features allow me to manage orders from anywhere and print shipping labels with just a click. Seriously, it's that easy. And the cost savings? Unbelievable. With discounts up to 89% off carrier rates, you can't go wrong. Significant savings. And who doesn't want that? An easy-to-use dashboard, robust reporting. Oh, and did I mention that over 130,000 companies have leveraged ShipStation to grow their businesses? Not much churn either. 98% of them stay with ShipStation because it truly works. ShipStation is it. So if you're ready to streamline your shipping process and focus more on what you love, head over to ShipStation.com. The innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code KARA to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code KARA. Use code KARA for a free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code KARA.
When I had started, a lot of the competitors and other folks who had started around the same time had their names as their website. But I was like, this has to be bigger than me. I don't know anything about fitness. I'm going to hire awesome fitness people who know what they're doing. I had just become a mom, but I didn't want this to be a mommy place. Like, I wanted this to be for moms who are interested in fashion and beauty and lots of other things. So very early on, I wanted to make sure it wasn't only driven by my voice.
And so here we had this dilemma, this fact.
I've spent almost a decade researching this subject.
From the Hint offices in San Francisco, I'm Kara Golden.
Every aspect of your metabolic health improves.
Each week, we're talking to innovators and game changers who think outside the box and tackle problems that few address. What does it really take to be unstoppable? Let's find out. I'm so excited to share this interview with Lisa Sugar, founder of Pop Sugar, one of the largest media companies around. We dive into the why behind Pop Sugar, what it's like to work with our spouses. We've both been 12 years working side by side with our husbands, how to create your own company culture, how to figure out your brand message, and we even cover some of the favorite public speaking tips. You won't want to miss this episode. Lisa, I am so excited that you're here. Thank you so much for coming. Everybody, this is Lisa Sugar, founder and president of Pop Sugar. Yes. So Lisa, I want you to tell everybody a little bit about like why you started it and some of your background, and and we'll talk a little bit more about some other things as well. But just as a starter, like why Pop Sugar? How did it get started?
Pop Sugar got started when I was working in advertising, and I knew that is not where I wanted to be. I loved my job. I was learning a lot, but there was a lot I did not like. And in my 20s, I was experiencing, you know, a lot of trying to figure out what I wanted to do and, you know, had really bad nights and was definitely the day-to-day job that I was doing was not my calling. So I had reached crossroads of trying to figure out what it was I was going to do. I grew up on the East Coast and lived in New York before we moved out to San Francisco and really wanted to get into media and entertainment. And I was here, and I thought I'd only be here for like 3 to 5 years, but I didn't want to get into local stuff because I was like, I'm going to be here temporarily. And tech was the only other big thing here, which was also not my calling. So I stayed in advertising, and at the time, blogs were starting. And I had some friends who were encouraging me to write, but I was like, oh, I don't, you know, I've never really done this before. And so it was finally at a crossroads where a good friend came over. He was a journalist at Business 2.0 and all these great reputable, you know, magazines. And he was listening to me talk, and he was like, you should just start writing. Like, you just have so much knowledge in your head and stuff that I thought was useless.
So it started as a blog.
Yeah. So I just started writing every day. I didn't even tell my friends I was doing it. I was still working full-time in advertising. And Brian taught me, my husband, taught me, built the site for me, taught me basic coding. And I got so addicted to it. And I would start looking at the stats and seeing how many people were coming and reading a certain story. And it just fueled the fire for me to want to write more and more and more.
So you really, you had no idea what you were doing initially.
No idea.
And you just went and started building and doing it and just, and seeing what consumer reaction. Right.
I knew what was out there and I knew I wanted something different. I knew that they didn't, the sites that were out there didn't necessarily speak to me. Mm-hmm. I loved magazines and I loved, you know, watching as much TV as I could. And what was great about my job is I got early access to both magazines and all the shows on television. So initially I thought Pop Sugar would be about reviews of shows mm-hmm. and ratings and more entertainment and industry news. But as I started writing, people were more interested in, you know, the lives of celebrities or maybe a beauty product or something new that I had tested and tried and just actually giving advice. So I started catering to more of that content. I went through the filter of being a fan. I loved celebrities. I loved being entertained. So writing it in a voice, like as if I'm just sitting here talking to you about like, oh my God, you have to watch this new show. It's amazing. I'm dedicating all of my time to this. And the fact that I wrote it in a different voice that wasn't sort of a, you know, boring Who, What, Where, When mm-hmm. magazine or the really the other stuff that was out there at the time was extremely snarky and nasty. And Pop Sugar was very
positive. Yeah. No, I remember especially in the early days when you started writing. I mean, it was interesting. People told me that, oh, they're a husband and wife team as well. And so I would hear about you guys all the time. And people would always say, oh, do you know Lisa Sugar? And I didn't know you. But so working with your husband,
yes.
So I get this question all the time because my husband and I work together too. And I mean, it's funny. People always say, what's it like to work with your husband? And I always have this opinion, like, what's it like not to work with your husband, because I actually think that it makes life simpler because I'm not trying to figure out, you know, what he's doing
right.
with his job, and there's no competition about whose job is more important.
That's
and,
true, yes.
you know, things like that. So what?
All for the greater good.
Right. Exactly. And raising a family.
Yeah.
And
I never thought I'd work with my husband. So it was amazing that it just worked out the way that it did. I started writing Pop Sugar, and in 6 months, it just took off. And Brian's background is in retail, and he's also an engineer, so he builds sites. And he had built a handful of sites for J. Crew and Kmart and Martha Stewart. And he saw how fast Pop Sugar was growing, so he was like, I see a business here.
Yeah.
And
how often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years. Helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long-term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today.
And immediately was like, quit your job. He told me, he's like, quit your job and work on this nonstop, build an audience. Don't worry about where the money's coming from yet. Like, just smart. Do this. And so that was 6 months after I'd started. We just found out I was pregnant with our first daughter. And then he quit his job about 6 months later. And, you know, it makes the day-to-day easier, I think. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I never thought we'd work together, but it's great. I mean, we walk our girls to school in the morning and then we walk into work together. There are times where I'm like, we have to go into a conference room right now because, like, I have to look at our calendars and we have to plan and figure out who's going to be where and when. And I couldn't do that if he was somewhere else, right?
Right.
So there's good and bad parts of it. Obviously, there's parts where you just sort of like, I want to not talk about work right now because I'm tired and I just put the kids to bed.
Right.
Other times where, you know, we realize we have to have the conversation or he can see I obviously have so much going on. So he needs to stop and support me to figure out where I need help. And
yeah.
It's great. I mean, we've been doing this now 12 years. We have some ground rules. Like, we try not to travel too much together because we have three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, the demands of the company have also made it harder in the sense that people do want both of us at certain things. But it's been a really great balance. I mean, I don't remember what life was like not working with him, you know, so it's great.
I've had so many of my friends, especially my friends who have unfortunately gotten divorced, have said, like, unlike you guys, there was this competition in our house of whose job was more important.
Yeah.
And like what I see you guys doing, I wish that I had that. And I was like, really? Like, I mean, it's just, but I hear this over and over again.
It's
how about your
teamwork?
Yeah,
you know?
No,
it's
totally.
Like all in this, we really all are in it together. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And how about your kids? Like, seeing you, you know, launch a company and do something together, if they ever commented on seeing their parents working together.
So our oldest daughter came with us to work for the first 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Which was magical because I had no idea how to start a company and I had no idea how to raise a child.
Yeah.
So figuring it all out at the same time was, it was great. We had the support of the people we were hiring. You know, I was worried too. We were hiring a lot of young women who, like, you know, coming out of college, do they really want to have like a 6 month around? But it actually fostered a really great culture for us.
Yeah.
So Katie came to work with us for 3 years. And then I was like, I think she should be going to school.
Yeah.
So, you know, put her in preschool. Now I think it is special. We, you know, try to have the kids come to school, you know, in with their classmates.
Mm-hmm. Super fun.
Yeah. And they get it. They see what we've built. And I think, you know, I've even said to Brian, like, we have to be better when we come home from work together to show that, like, you know, us even giving each other a hug. Like, I remember my dad would walk in. My mom would, you know, we'd all be ready to sit down to dinner. Dad would come in. Everybody gives him a hug, including my mom, like, big hug and kiss. I'm like, our kids don't see that, you know, because we're just together all the time. So we have to remember to show our kids, like, that this isn't a normal thing.
Yeah.
Most parents don't work together. So when we come home, you know, the kids definitely, I think, see that it's something special that we've created together.
It's interesting. I think my kids are a little bit older than yours, but I was talking about actually the daughter that worked for you guys last summer, that was working as an intern in your New York offices. We were talking about Silicon Valley and some of the challenges that women have in Silicon Valley, especially all of the things that have been written about lately. And she's very, very interested in, or I shouldn't say she's very interested in writing, but she's very good at science and technology. And so we keep pushing her, you know, maybe you should be looking at science and technology. And she said to us a couple of weeks ago while we were away for the holidays together, she said, you know, I hear about all of these challenges in Silicon Valley with like large companies. And then I think, can I actually go and create my own culture? Can I actually go, rather than joining a culture that I might not be that interested in, even though they might be doing some kind of cool product, why are you guys trying to encouraged me to go and join a culture. And we didn't even think about it as a culture. We thought about it as, you know, Silicon Valley, like science and technology. And it's so interesting what I see my kids are picking up on, because they see this culture that we've created here. And although
they know how great it
may not be perfect, it's special. Right. It's a special thing. So I feel like we're providing teaching moments, and I'm sure you guys are as well, for your kids.
Yeah. And I think, you know, similarly, like, one of my daughters already great in math, and we think the same way.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, she jokes, well, I wouldn't want to do writing like you anyways, Mom. But I always say to her, you know, I left my job in advertising because I was managing multi-million dollar budgets down to the last penny in an Excel chart. And I was like, this is not what interests me. But even what I'm doing now, there's still so much math involved. And obviously from an engineering and technology perspective, you know, we try to have more female engineers than the average, because we're such a female friendly company. So trying to recruit more women in technology and with engineering backgrounds to be a part of a company where we have that culture that is hopefully not the same as what the rest of Silicon Valley is. Heart, you know, and something we pride ourselves on.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the best things about starting your own company, right? Is you can create the culture you want.
Totally.
And we've spent a lot of time, you know, whether it was having Katie with us at the office those first 3 years while we went from, you know, zero to 150 employees, to now where our kids aren't in the office every day, but still wanting people to think that this is a family-run business, even though it's 400 employees and offices everywhere, like
right.
around the world, right? It's hard. So, but we definitely pride ourselves on trying to make it a very female-friendly, you know, we've got so everybody is going and getting married, having babies, and you want them to come back.
Yeah.
So we work really hard at making sure.
Well, I think you guys have done that. I mean, I think you guys have definitely done that. So it's a very friendly environment where people, you know, feel that. And I think it really starts with, you know, you and Brian and having that from the get-go. So when you started this company, I mean, it was out of, you know, you're writing, you've got a blog, and you started to grow. What was the biggest pain point, like, that you felt that really you thought, oh, wow, I don't know. I mean, was there a point where you felt like I might need to shut this thing down?
Definitely not. I mean, I think there's been many pain points as far as our business has changed. And there's been challenges that have brought great advantages to us as well. So like mobile didn't exist. Social really, the way that it exists now, did not exist. There was no Instagram, Snapchat, or even Facebook for everyone beyond students. So having to rearrange how we create our content, staff our business, that kind of stuff is challenging. But never the breaking point of having to shut it down.
Yeah.
And we have a team that is very, you know, financially responsible. We have not taken in a gazillion dollars like a lot of our competitors, which is really great for us. I mean, we really pride ourselves on running a profitable business, which is not easy to do in media. So that's something that's been important to us, because we do have a lot of competitors coming out of nowhere, especially in the past 5 years. You know, it's easy to create content. Like, anybody can start, you know, and just like PopSugar over 10 years ago, if you catch that voice and that wave, you can get really great growth. But then it's actually turning it into the business that can work with brand partners and extend, you know, into licensing and other things. That I think is a lot harder. And I think we have set ourselves up for success after a lot of learning.
After a lot of learnings along the way. And so, I know, for example, we were part of your PopSugar The Box, which was great. We loved being a part of that, which is super great. Now, do you have any plans for launching any new products? Or
We are launching a beauty line.
Oh, awesome.
March,
oh, that's great.
In Ulta stores, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, yay.
And this is the wonderful marriage of amazing brand partner. They spend a lot of money with us to reach our audience. Mm-hmm. They know that we can get our messaging out. They know that we have a ton of beauty junkies, like millions of people who just can't wait to read more and more content on beauty. We also tap into them and ask them a lot of insights and questions. And then we partner with this amazing woman whose background is off the charts, who wanted to start doing licensing with brands. And she and I met and we were like, let's do this. So we met with Ulta, sold them on the idea. And it's just this amazing, you know, collaboration now of having a, you know, Beauty by PopSugar in Ulta stores. It'll also be online in its own you know, that's awesome. Pop Sugar site, but it's a full makeup line, and we're going to end up doing, you know, skincare and perfume and the whole thing. And it's been a really fun process for me because I am a, as much as I started really being the sort of celebrity entertainment fanatic, I also have always been a beauty junkie. So yeah, just testing products and having a really fun time learning about why we're going to go in certain directions, or being able to now see how things like Instagram obviously can influence the type of products we want to create, because they're just like really great for, you know, that social moment and that picture. And we know our audience will love that too. So it's a great variety of like classic and traditional tinted moisturizers and eyeshadows and balms to this really fun product that's going to be like an in and out limited edition, because we know that people will want it for just fun.
For the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And Ulta's such a great partner. Actually, I was just at a conference and seeing some data on like top retailers in terms of growth, and Ulta, all over the world, they, I mean, there was everything from grocery retailers to regional retailers, and Ulta was one that was like, had the top 10 growth. And I think it actually bypassed like Costco in terms of their growth.
And
I was looking at it.
I was,
yeah, no, it's amazing. And also a female CEO.
Yeah.
So who has an interesting background as well. Really, really great. That's awesome. So you talked a little bit about funding. Lots of people who come into the Cara Network are always really interested in how do you do it? Like, how did you decide to do it? So as you said, you haven't raised as much capital.
Yeah.
Being profitable is really important, which, you know, we have also structured our company in the same way. So
much as I would love to own a camp someday, we're not running a camp.
Yeah.
Like, we want everyone to come to work and have fun. But at the end of the day, like, have to be making money.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So how did you make decisions about that? And especially, like, did you get VC money, private equity?
So in April, my husband had left his job, and we decided June 1st is when we really started. And we, you know, had our first day of training, and actually I went into labor 2 weeks early with Katie. So,
oh my God,
I was like, all right, we have a, you know, first six people, like engineers, somebody who's going to help me start writing because I was having a baby, and figure out how to hire some other people, somebody who was going to spell check for me, because that was the one thing I was always like, I need someone spelling, you know, I'm writing so fast.
Oh my God,
like,
that's so funny.
Like a copy editor. So we had our first six people, went into labor. I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the hospital. We'll be right back. You guys can hang here.
So
and Brian was not sure at first if we wanted to take in money. He was like, let's just, you know, it's getting big really quickly. We're getting the audience. Let's just concentrate on building this brand and building the audience. And we were fortunate enough at the time to be courted by a few of the Silicon Valley firms here. And so we only met with three. And very quickly, there was a really nice marriage with us and Sequoia, who is our main investor.
Oh, great.
You know, Michael Moritz has been on our board since the beginning and has been nothing but an amazing, you know,
that's great,
mentor and advisor and, you know, supporter. And we said early on, we're not in this to flip this. Like, this is building a media business takes a long time. So just know that coming in. And, you know, I think Mike having a background in journalism and publishing, something in Brian and I, and liked the idea of starting this company with us. So they're really our main investors and have been with us this entire time.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So, that's a good story, actually, because it's...
So we took in funding in September. So it was a few months after we sort of got started.
And then they just follow-ons along the way. That's a great story. And you said you're up to 400 people. You have an office here in San Francisco and then one in New York. Any other?
We have studios in LA, in Culver City. We have a big studio where we do majority of our video. We have offices in London, Chicago, because it's a huge advertising base for us.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of our advertisers are in the Midwest. So we have a team in Chicago and then London. So those are our main hubs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so in terms of, I mean, you guys are doing a ton of content, for example, and there's lots of discussions, you know, Facebook and Instagram, and how do you work with those companies in order to grow your own audiences? I mean, we certainly are challenged with that every single day. We're always trying to figure out, do those audiences, are they their audiences, or they are our audiences, and et cetera. How do you think about those things?
It's hard because obviously at the end of the day, we are getting revenue from advertising, and so are they. But they're also getting our message out there and marketing our content. And even with the recent changes in Facebook, because you know, that's the hard part is not having control, right? But at the end of the day, they are really helping get our content into people who want this type of content. And so we've done great partnerships with them in different ways. You know, we're doing videos with Facebook on their watch programs. You know, we've been just working with these guys since the beginning. Instagram is our largest growth right now. That is where our audience is. And we have to just keep creating so much content on Instagram.
That's Is it mostly video or?
It's both. It's in the feeds. But, you know, so one of the things we recently did, for example, was, you know, PopSugar has all these different verticals that we go into. So fashion, beauty, food, fitness. And we decided instead of having 12 different Instagram handles, let's fold them into four.
Yeah.
And what are those four main categories? So we have like our PopSugar main page, which is everything that PopSugar covers. And then we did fitness, moms, and beauty, because those are, you know, just three huge categories for us, separately of everything else we do. So we're really building and giving those audiences what they want. Because, for example, our audiences love food if it's beautiful and decadent and delicious looking, but not our fitness audience. So we didn't want to throw fitness and food together in the same stream, because our fitness audience, who wants the workouts, they want healthy eating, they don't want to see the donut.
Yeah.
So really studying, and this goes back to the days of like when I was in advertising, looking at analytics all day, thinking I wanted to get away from that. I do it all day long on the content side.
Yeah.
And we create these playbooks, and we are really looking at Facebook beauty is, you know, 8 years younger than our Instagram beauty. I mean, and then how do we make that content a little more catered to somebody younger? So we really have to think about each platform differently. And it's, I mean, it's more work. But the payoff is great, because you get to see people interacting and really enjoying what you're creating.
And then you can really clearly look at the analytics around that demographic too.
Yeah.
So, and how does moms break into that? Because moms like food and they like fitness.
Yeah. Actually, one of the things we decided was to not do moms on Instagram and do them on Facebook, because we felt that creating mom content on Instagram was not right for us. Mm-hmm. But on Facebook, they crush it and kill it all day long. And it's everything from, you know, fun memes to, you know, get me through the day, or tell me how, you know, other moms juggle their morning. I mean, they're just interested in hearing what other moms are doing, as well as really emotional, heartwarming stories. Those do really, really well for us. And hearing how other moms are just, you know,
are doing it.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's terrific.
It's that relatable or emotional content they like.
And how about your founding story? I get this question from a lot of entrepreneurs too, that how much do you invoke your founding story onto PopSugar? And I know you're out speaking a lot about sort of the brand story and sort of like, how much do you put that into some of the social that you guys do?
I have very early on decided I did not want this to be about Lisa Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason for the name being PopSugar, right? When I had started, a lot of the competitors and other folks who had started around the same time had their names as their website.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. But I was like, this has to be bigger than me. I don't know anything about fitness. I'm going to hire awesome fitness people who know what they're doing. I had just become a mom, but I didn't want this to be a mommy place. Like, I wanted this to be for moms who are interested in fashion and beauty and lots of other things. So very early on, I wanted to make sure it wasn't only driven by my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I wanted, you know, diversity in opinions. So I wanted to be able to hire people who could talk about things that, you know. So that was a very early on message in our brand. It's always fun to meet people and they're like, oh, I didn't know there actually was like a Lisa Sugar, or Sugar was a part of the name of the company. So that's always fun. Last year I did write a book called Power Your Happy.
Which was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I felt wise enough at that point. Like, okay, the company's 10 years old. People do ask the founding story all the time. They don't know that it is this married couple behind it. So I did spend a lot of time more so becoming, you know, just the face and telling our story and getting that out there. And that felt really great. It's still not the number one driving thing that is the day-to-day message on our sites. I mean, when the sales team is out there talking about our brand, they'll say it originated with Lisa and Brian, but where it is today is very much about, you know, an every girl and, you know, this inclusive environment so that anyone who comes on the site feels like they can belong. And we have, you know, what we call sort of PopSugar principles. And it's that idea of like positivity and passionate and purposeful. Like, I want you to come to the site and learn something. So all these things that were very early on in the DNA of the company with me behind it, with the team, is still there.
Yeah. I think it's in conversations that I have with entrepreneurs, though, you come up a lot. I mean, like, as somebody that, no, and I think that that means that you're doing something right. I mean, it's, I always talk about that these large brands, whether it's, and I think it's applicable in your category too, that I think it's the challenge that large brands have today, and large brands, and, you know, my category of whether it's soda or sunscreen or whatever, like, I think yours are the big networks, right?
Yes.
No one knows who started those. And I think that you sort of lose the heart, you lose the, you know, the trust that's behind there. It's also a somewhat scary place to be too, because it's, you can't mess up, or right. maybe you can mess up a little bit, but you can't be.
Well, these days it's very hard to put yourself out there.
Totally.
You know, and I think being comfortable with that definitely takes a certain level of confidence.
Yeah.
I hated public speaking. And so to go out there and talk about that book all day long, I was like, this yeah. is not, I want to be talking about the video that we're going to create on the site. And I love being behind the scenes and being with the team. And that is that more important to me. But at the same time, whatever needs to get done for the brand is, and the greater good of the company, right?
Which I remember you telling me that. Yeah, that you did that. So I always try and do that as well. Like yeah. I really figure out things that I'm really afraid of, and then I go and tackle yeah. them, and then I force the issue yes. and try and figure out like what are the things, and I create a journal to try and figure out.
And
you know,
it's great, right? Yeah. When you're like, I figured out how to fall asleep the night before I have to speak somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Instead of being up all nervous all night, I've like figured out how I need to just like close my mind off to it.
Well, it's interesting. I was telling somebody this at a talk the other day. He was about to go on stage and he was yeah. very, very nervous. And actually it was funny because it was an agent. It was a big agent for a lot of celebrity kind of people. Oh. And he said he's never out speaking. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, just go on stage and just pretend that you don't know anybody in the audience and no one really cares about what you're talking about. And then yeah. you can mentally just say, now I just need to go talk. And that's sort of how I started doing it. And then he came to me afterwards, after his talk, and he said, that was the best advice that anyone has ever given me. And now I'm going to tell some of the celebrities that I work with the exact same thing, to go up on stage, because he was even saying being in front of a camera versus yeah. like being in front of a large audience is just a very, very different thing.
Yes.
And, you know, with a camera, there's typically not a big audience for a lot of people, but with, you know, seeing people around is somewhat daunting and yeah. scary for a lot of people. So I love the fact that you had a fear, and you knew you had a fear yeah. and tackled it.
And
so
I think it's important to, every year everyone says, what's your favorite thing about the company? It's like, you know, literally every year something is different.
Yeah.
So whether it's the book or it's the beauty line or something, it's, I'm doing very different things than when we started it 10 years ago. And
yeah.
it is a lot of scary stuff. But yeah, so actually my picture will be on the gondola in all the Ulta stores. And I was like, is that necessary? Like, yeah. this isn't really about me.
We yeah. I love it.
And they were like, no, they need to know who the founder is. They need to put a face to like,
I know, totally agree.
Product. So
yeah. And when is that launching?
In March.
Oh, that's yeah. very, very exciting.
Yeah.
So where is Lisa Sugar? I don't know. Not 10 years from now, because I think that's way far out. But yeah. where's Lisa Sugar 5 years from now?
I think Pop Sugar is a brand that's built to last. And as much as there's a lot of competitors out there, I think that we will be standing strong. I think we'll be doing more video, longer form video, with a huge event in New York in June with 15,000 women.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We should definitely talk about that.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
like,
awesome.
It's called Pop Sugar Playground.
Wow, fun.
So we're calling it like a wonderland for inspirational panels, and we're doing cool stuff.
That's so cool.
About. So that's the other latest. You know, I'm kind of in Ulta Beauty Land now, but Playground is something I'm working
on. It's coming on.
And it is something that, you know, who knows? Are we going to do this every year and make yeah. this our, you know, version of what Bonnaroo or Coachella is to music lovers? So.
Well, how can you create impact and inspire? I mean, it sounds.
Now let's just marry the two. Let's mm-hmm. create this really great place where people want to be at, but let's also bring in the inspirational angle where people can learn. And so it's the idea that, you know, there's this whole playful side, but then there's this very grounded side where you can, you know, learn for yourself for the greater good for you.
Yeah. Well, I love the idea of creating your own events.
Yes.
So it's sort of like creating your own holidays, right?
Right.
So that's the key thing. That's awesome. Cool. Well, this has been amazing and really, really fun. Yeah, thanks for coming. And maybe we'll do a follow-up to this
yes.
after the launch. And maybe you can yeah. share some lessons learned along the way of launching into a new category, yeah. launching into, you know, a big partnership. It'd be really fun to get you back.
For sure.
So, okay, cool. Thanks so much.
You can also learn more about Lisa Sugar and the incredible things she's doing with Pop Sugar on popsugar.com. I have a huge announcement. I love giving away things that are so dear to my heart, like Hint Water. So for the next 3 months, I'll be choosing 5 lucky listeners to win a year's supply. All you have to do to enter is go to Kara Golden, that's KaraGoldin.com/iTunes, and leave a meaningful review for the show. That's it. And if I see you tweeting it out and tagging me at Kara Golden, you will increase your chances of being picked. And please be sure to spread the word with your family and friends. And thanks for listening to Unstoppable with Kara Golden. Thanks so much for listening to Unstoppable. If you like what you heard, please help spread the word and leave us a review. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Please talk to me at KaraGolden.com. Until next time, be unstoppable.
Addictive nature of modern food.
Nutrition is important.
Obesity and diabetes epidemic.